Check 1 2 1 2, bitch. What the fuck is up, people?
What up?
This is episode 281.
281.
One of the most consistent podcasts in the area.
Give me a hell yeah.
That's no sense. This is your boy, Buzz B.
And over here, it's your boy, JC Nohuts.
Oh, man. I feel old-ish.
You are.
Yeah, I know, right? Turned to big 3-5 this past weekend.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Big November 13th, you know, it was cool. Got some free drinks when I went out.
That's give me a nice. Hell, yeah.
Tell me what my birthday is. Give me free drinks, free stuff. Fucking decided to go to the Niner game. Yeah. I was like, you know what? I'm going to take that 50-50 chance. Met up with some people. Shout out to Alyssa, longtime Twitter follower, Twitter friend, period. Met up with her. Saw hella people I saw from high school that I haven't seen since high school at the tailgate. Had free fucking tacos and beer and more quesadillas and shit like that. And I was like, wow. And it was my first time ever seeing the Niners play at Levi's. So, you know, some fan I am. But hey, man, Sunday night game, pulled that bitch out. They didn't piss me off.
Yeah.
You know? I was like, ah, this is how it feels. This is how it feels to, like, watch them win. It was nice. They pissed me off in the beginning, but, you know, it was good.
Yeah.
But it was fun. I enjoyed myself. I enjoyed myself for the most part. And, you know, had dinner with friends, family. It was chill.
That's what it was.
You know, last year I saw Kendrick Lamar. This year I went to see the Niners.
Yeah.
What am I going to do next year? Oh, it'll be on a Monday, so probably not shit. But, yeah, it was cool.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my weekend was chill. Mm-hmm. I didn't really do much.
Yeah, I feel on that.
I started off, what was it? Well, leads into the first topic, because that was pretty much the point of my weekend. But it started off with Black Panther.
And I was going to lead into that, yeah.
Yeah, ended off with not doing much of shit else, so.
So.
With that being said.
Wakanda forever!
And I've been waiting,
the long awaited sequel to Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, which follows what happened in Wakanda after T'Challa passes away, which they don't tell us how he passed away. He just died.
Said he had a disease.
Yeah, he had an illness.
He had a king's disease.
Hey! Don't even ask me how. Don't even ask us how we came up with that. But yeah, man, I liked it. It's one in my top 10 and one of the best MCU movies. Now, was it better than the first Black Panther, personally, for me? No, but it's the total yin and yang of each other. You have to watch both movies to really understand the ultimate impact of, I guess, of Black Panther and T'Challa and his impact and all that shit.
Truth be told, though, I don't think it's fair to even try to rank these right now. This one. This one's the first one where we've lost an actor.
Yeah.
So this,
and they didn't recast him.
I mean, it's... Obviously, you're going to rank them in terms of MCU, but I think this one, just let it sit for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Don't even do any... you're going to do yourself a great injustice, trying to rank something where we should be paying homage and honor to the short-lived legacy that Chadwick Boseman brought to the character of T'Challa.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
First 15 minutes is a fucking emotional roller coaster.
Oh, yeah. Like, the very beginning. Like, it was like a long tracking shot of just Shuri trying to make that that herb to try to save T'Challa because she knows he's dying. So she's trying to race the fucking... Oh, spoilers. it's made a lot of money. Shout out to Ryan Coogler. But yeah, man, just that long tracking shot of her trying to figure out a way to save him. And then before she can get an herb that wasn't 100% could save him, fucking Angela Bassett came in and just said...
He's with the ancestors.
And then you saw the funeral, and it was just like, oh, wow, they're really going down that route. And you could tell the actors were mourning. Like, mm-hmm. It was like the characters and the actors were mourning the death of Black Panther. Like, you saw the helmet and shit like that.
That was real mourning.
Yeah.
No, it I don't even think anybody had to say action, to be honest.
Yeah, that was a tradition there because a lot of them couldn't go to his funeral because he died during the pandemic. So they couldn't even go to his private ceremony. So this was like a way of paying homage and paying tribute to him.
Right.
And you see it just get sucked up into that ship. And everyone did the Wakanda Forever salute and shit like that. And it was like a traditionary, like, African, like, funeral. Because you saw them, they were just celebrating his life, which I thought was deep. Then you saw that memorial, that graffiti artwork on the screen. I was like, damn. And then you saw how silent it got, and it showed the MCU logo with all the Chadwick scenes and shit. And you didn't hear the music. It was just total silence. In my theater, you could hear a fucking pin drop. I was just like, ooh, this is what we're doing. I saw it with Karina, too. And even she was kind of like, she told me she was trying to fight back tears. It was like, fuck.
Yeah, I saw it with Britt and my sister.
Uh-huh.
And, yep, same effect. Just dead silence. And it was, honestly, it was dead silence from the time where it was clear what was going on.
Uh-huh.
In the first scene. Nobody really said anything until...
the action happened?
No, basically until... Because there's that mix of... I forget the queen's name.
Ramona, right?
Yeah, when Queen Ramona goes into the hearing.
Oh, yeah.
And that mix of... So that's when, you know, rumbling started happening then. Yeah, they ain't waste time with the action, boy.
Oof.
And I've been waiting, like, baby.
Yeah, I don't trust you crackers. Yeah, we're close. Go on.
So, better than trying to just talk about the whole damn movie scene for scene.
Oh, yeah.
At what point do we say that Wakanda needs to stop trying to protect America and just get off the ass and start shooting up everybody around?
Stop protecting the world, man. Yeah,
because at this point,
I've now seen
two films where they trying to look out for America, but America wasn't looking out for them.
Well, they got set up. Like, if you really think about it, because I thought about this after the third time I saw it. Yeah, I saw it three times. Black Power. Wakanda Forever. But what I really thought about, because they took Riri Williams, which is Ironheart, her design, they sent that shit to the ocean to look for vibranium. And that's what started the whole war between Namor and... not Namor, Namor. And his crew against Wakanda. That started the whole war. Because someone in America fucking started this shit. And I was just like, oh, so someone within America took Riri's design from her school, sent it down there without her knowing... That pissed off the Namor and his people, and they wanted to go after him. And then it started the whole war between Wakanda, and then it makes it look like, oh, so you wanted Mexicans and the blacks to go against each other so you can go and
Mayans. They come from Mayans.
Mayans, yeah, my fault. From Mayans and blacks to go up against each other so they can wipe each other out so then you can go in there and just take their vibranium and take their supplies. Oh, okay. Like Karina said, one thing about this movie I really did like was that I didn't see no bad guys. Everybody made sense. You know, I couldn't hate on Namor because he was just trying to protect his people. Same with Shuri. They were all just trying to protect their people. Everybody had a reason to do everything. The only enemy was the world's governments. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, Wakanda, yeah, stop fucking giving people your shit, man. To see what happened when fucking T'Challa said, hey, man, let's open up our resources for everybody and shit. And what happened? As soon as they brought in Vision and the fucking Infinity Stone, what happened? Thanos showed up.
Right.
What are you reading?
Yeah, because you want to get the name of his people correctly. Talokans.
Talokans. I was going to call them Atlanteans, but they're not. That's in the comic books.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Once again, trying to protect people you don't need to be protecting. Mm-hmm. And they keep setting you up. Setting you up for failure, so... If I see Wakanda having another damn borderline civil war in between themselves, I'm gonna be mad.
You've done that yourself.
You got till the third one to get it right before I start getting pissed off. Even Optimus Prime, after a certain amount of Transformers, said, man, fuck y'all.
Fuck y'all. I mean, what's her name? Ramona, we kind of said, she told the world's governments, we're being nice right now, but don't keep coming to our shit trying to take our resources.
Right.
You know, we're being very, very nice. They low-key set up Thunderbolts.
Mm-hmm.
If you really thought about it, with Thunderbolts, if you don't know, is Marvel's Civil War. It's not Civil War. They're Suicide Squad.
Right.
And they're going to probably try to send them into Wakanda and try to take their shit too, so they can get washed.
And that's when, what's the new costume for, I forgot, the Angels that they called them?
The what?
Shuri made that Angel costume.
Oh, yeah. I forgot what you're talking about for Okoye.
Yeah.
Yeah, that shit looked like the Power Rangers.
Right. Well, that's probably going to have some... That's going to have a play in that, too.
Mm-hmm. This was greatly written, too. Ryan Coogler. Round of applause for that, man. Ryan Coogler. Round of applause for that Oakland native, man. He is good with the pen. He is great with the pen. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was his fourth movie. Fucking Fruitvale Station, Black Panther, Creed, and Wakanda Forever. This is his fourth movie.
Yeah.
All of them, like, this is the second movie that sold over, like, highest grossing Friday movie ever.
I got the numbers right here. So we get it all proper. Because he definitely deserves his flowers.
Was it $310 million opening weekend?
Let's see.
How much was it? I know it was a lot.
I know. I'm trying to accumulate everything.
Oh, worldwide?
For everything that he's done up to this point.
I'm going to look it up. I'm going to look it up, too, while you're doing that. Yeah, when it comes to the overall movie, Letitia Wright did a great job acting. She literally controlled the screen. Winston Duke, of course, of M'Baku, he had the one-liners like, "You bald-headed demon."
Right.
You know, and what was the other one? He said, "Oh, they don't call him King. They call him Cuckoo Khan." Been saying that shit all fucking day. That shit was really stuck in my mind. But overall, it was a good movie.
Yeah, basically, I'm having a hard time finding it. But basically, what it was that this film grossed over what $310 million,
I think.
$310 million worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
$180 million in the States.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it was his fourth
film.
No, it wasn't just that. Was it his fourth number one or top three or something like that?
Mm-hmm. I think his third number. Yeah, with Creed, that's his third, yeah.
Yeah, and then this is the second top 15 weekend debut in history. So both of his Black Panther films are in the top 15.
Oakland, stand the fuck up.
Right. That was what I was trying to get there. That was a very important stat.
Mm-hmm.
Where there's 15 films, and he now has two of them back to back, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And they're MCU
movies, man.
Right.
And there's rumors they might try to get him to do Secret Wars and shit, to like direct Secret Wars, the Avengers movies and shit.
Mm-hmm.
But he was just like, shit, I'm gonna try to get this movie out. Because you could tell when they were filming this movie, this had a mental toll on all of them.
Oh, yeah.
Including him. Because he wrote the damn script. He had everything ready. Like, did you read up what the original plan was gonna be? Well, for the people that don't know. The original plan for this one, for Wakanda Forever, and the original script, if Chadwick would have lived, was that it was gonna focus on T'Challa feeling like a failure as a king after he came from a post-snap. Like a post-endgame world in Wakanda. He would have felt like a failure as a king, and he felt he didn't do enough. And Namor and Riri Williams were still going to show up, but it was going to focus more on the character of T'Challa feeling like a failure. And I'll be like, that would have been interesting.
Man, he would have got his ass whooped again. He can't win.
If you run down T'Challa's whole history, first you come to America, they kill your daddy.
Right.
So you have to become a king. And then you have to handle that situation.
Butt ass naked. And when I mean butt ass naked, I mean outside of the suit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so you know, you just ass naked, just out, just bam, your daddy gone.
Your daddy gone.
Now you got to chase him.
Then you
get in, unbeknownst to you and really unwillingly, you get brought into a civil war that ain't got shit to do with you.
But, you know, it's white problems.
Right.
But you still got to deal with it. Then you let old boy free because you remember, okay, I can't let revenge consume me. So now I got to fly back and I got to deal with my own nation looking at me sideways because I let that nigga free. But it's okay. I'm still Black Panther. Then what happens? My cousin shows up.
I didn't even know I had a fucking cousin.
And he whoops my ass. Throws me off a cliff.
Matter of fact, that nigga killed me.
But then I got saved, got the power back, show up there, beat his ass, kill his ass. And I'm like, okay, I'm king again. You know what? I'm going to be nice. I'm going to open up Wakanda for everybody. You know, I'm going to bring them resources and all that.
I'm going to start a center in Oakland. How do I get repaid for it?
No. Then after that, I'm going to keep Bucky frozen. And how did I get repaid for that?
How did I get repaid for that?
Thanos shows up.
Nice place, nigga.
You got that robot nigga here? Nice place, nigga. Fucks my shit up. Snaps his fingers. I turn to dust.
You don't see me for 5 years.
Come back. They're like, oh, we got to save the world. Save the world. Craig.
Then I just nod this nigga off as I come back out the circle. And then how do I start this one off? I'm dying.
Done. And then die.
That is, that's a rough six years.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Let's not forget. Yeah. The post-credit scene in the end, T'Challa was hiding a child. Then let that boy come home. When that shit happened, I literally said that. You are hiding a child. He really was. He did.
Yeah.
He didn't want to. He's like, oh no, it's too hard for him. Yeah. And his name is T'Challa. Son of Prince T'Challa. Could have just called him T'Challa Jr., but whatever. And yeah, T'Challa is in the MCU, people. It's not Chadwick, but you know, T'Challa's back, kind of.
On top, well, I mean, the main aspect of that is that's the reason why you don't jump to recasting.
Mm-hmm.
Because in mourning and in such travesty and, you know, I don't want to say disappointment, like Chadwick let us down, rest in peace. He actually gave us everything he got.
Yeah.
It wasn't disappointment in Chadwick, it was disappointment in how this all
happened.
Materialized. And all of the anguish, you now have a bright future that can continue on with this franchise,
mm-hmm,
within this big-ass conglomerate of a franchise.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's why you just don't jump and be like, oh, well, let's recast.
Because, well, look what y'all did with Hulk. You did that, but that's different. That's contract negotiations and shit.
Right.
This nigga died, and he was by far at his peak as an actor and Black Panther. Like, come on, niggas. He was literally on his way to being number two in lead for the MCU.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I didn't get emotional. I did get emotional when they showed Chadwick's scenes and all that, but the movie itself, like, you felt his presence was there, but it wasn't there, if that makes any sense.
It was all throughout. Yeah. I was actually very surprised that, really, in the first beginning of the middle,
mm-hmm,
they were able to get away from Chadwick and T'Challa.
Yeah.
And really start creating their own
lanes.
I was very surprised how quickly they got into that.
Yeah.
Because it didn't seem forced. It didn't seem
out of order. It was natural.
Yeah, it just happened.
I think the 1 year leap kind of helped a lot.
Right.
It was like 1 year later. So they're dealing with this and all that. And you could tell like the difference between Shuri and Wakanda Forever and the original Black Panther. Because in the original Black Panther, she was the happy, so lucky, very sarcastic, very funny little sister. This one is the mourning, angry, spiteful. She still had a little, sense of humor, but it was very little compared to the first one.
Yeah.
And you could clearly see it, especially Tisha White. She is a great actress.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
We got our Michael B. Jordan cameo.
Oh, that was hilarious. What's up, cousin? You know, they say, are you going to be noble like your father, like your brother, or are you going to take care of business like me? He said business. I was like, no, he's from Oakland. He said business. Yeah.
I didn't got that off. You could tell he just got done with Lori Harvey when he said that. He wanted to come back because I'm going to burn this shit now.
He's like, nah, that's bullshit. Like, I was like, ooh. Yeah. But when it comes to pop out Namor, I just like, well, not Namor, but Namor. That's what I
well-written character.
You couldn't really hate him. That's how I looked at him. Like, he was just defending his people. And he told him, you either get down or you lay down. You either with us against those white folks or are you with them. But I'm going to defend my turf. It was gang war, pretty much.
I was in the movie. Well, after the movie, mm-hmm, Britt and I were talking about it. Mm. She had me dying.
What did she say?
She said, when he said he was the child of Diablo,
uh-huh,
the Diablo Church, she goes, no, you're not. You're an angel. You're this and that. She said, when I'm spoiler.
Oh, yeah.
He popped up through them balls and marbles, and when it just the whole construction when he went into Wakanda,
oh, yeah,
she was like, "Oh no, you wasn't lying. You is the devil.
You is the devil." And then when he, well, he didn't kill Ramona Angela.
That's Bassett. What, you know, he did. Come on,
no,
he did.
She could have saved herself, but she saved.
It's a cause and effect.
Yeah,
if the police caught his ass and took him to court, he'd be up for double murder.
What was the line he said? That cold
he said,
ass
"You are queen now."
No, he said, "Barry." He said,
"Yeah, he said you are the queen now." Bury your dead and
gather your resources.
Yeah,
mourn your losses. Bury your dead. You're the queen now.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, that's a hard. That's not up there. Is this your king? But it's a smooth number two.
It's a backhanded compliment.
You know, that's a smooth number two. And then she just flew, and then he just flew off. And I was like, well, he could have kept killing you, but you know. And the only reason why he did that was because he felt, what's her name? Shiri killed one of his own in his cave, remember?
Yeah, nigga flew off in some Air Neesies.
Air Neesies. Nah, but when Shuri became Black Panther, like, you know, her version of Black Panther and shit like that, and she was just whooping his ass, and then, oh, you need a drink of water?
Yeah.
21 Savage was like, I need some water. Yeah. Yeah, the graphics were better compared to the first one, but like I said, this was the ending of Phase 4. Like, this was the last chapter. I'm glad there was no post-credit scene, you know what I mean? Not mid-credit, but no post-credit scene. Because I heard rumor has it was supposed to show Dr. Doom was the one who was behind it all. Mm-hmm. But they were like, nah, you kids ain't ready for that yet. Yeah. But I'm kind of glad this...
Y'all ain't even prepared for Ant-Man to die. Yeah. He gonna die. I just want to let y'all know.
What's his name again that's gonna play Kang? Oh my God. Black nigga.
Well, we know he's black.
I know. Oh my God, what's his name? In Lovecraft Country, I'm gonna look your ass up.
Jonathan
Majors.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was 3 fucking movie trailers with his ass in it when I saw Black Panther. Mm-hmm. That nigga was in... He's going to be in Creed 3. He's going to be in Ant-Man... Ant-Man
3.
Ant-Man 3. I'm not going to pronounce that shit. Quantumania. And he's going to be in some fucking World War II shit. I'm like, oh, well, he's been working.
Yeah.
That nigga looking buff and shit, too. Oh, man. That nigga will probably... He find work. But other than that, Wakanda Forever... It was good. That was good shit. Rest in peace, Chadwick Boseman. That was a great tribute to him. Great tribute.
Very well done.
Mm-hmm. Shout out Ryan Kruger, Oakland. I think I had a thick-ass Oakland accent. My mom was all like, oh, he's from Oakland? I'm like, oh, yeah, he talks like he's from Oakland. Like, if he ever talks to you, he has a very thick Oakland accent. Mm-hmm. You can hear it. You think he's a nigga from the street.
Right. Staying real quick in the MCU, just a quick shout-out. Post Malone and Sway Lee.
Hey.
That single Sunflower.
That was on Into the Spider-Verse. Yep.
17 times platinum.
Shit.
It is now the highest certified single in RIAA history.
So it's like Super Diamond?
It's just about Double Diamond pretty soon.
Shit, that's nuts.
It is the highest selling single in history.
That shit was played like, damn.
Yeah.
Also, if you're staying within the comic book realm, rest in peace, Kevin Conroy.
Yes.
The voice of Batman, the animated series, man. Like, he's 66 years old. I guess he had colon cancer.
Wow.
Yeah, man. 66 years old, man. Everybody knows him. He was the voice of Batman. Like, if you read a comic book, you heard his voice. He was the definitive voice of Batman. Oh, man.
Wasn't George Clooney. He definitely didn't have no damn Batman credit card.
Why'd you see George Clooney? That just... He's still apologizing for that damn movie. To this day, he apologizes for that movie.
To this day!
To this day. Hey, man,
to this day!
Trying to get the check, man. Don't blame him, but... Mm.
Yeah. Well, keeping up with more sales. Drake and 21 Savage.
21.
First week. Again, I try to tell motherfuckers, y'all keep talking about Drake and these numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And the first week with... Honestly, never mind. Still sold a very well put together 200,000+.
Mm-hmm.
And y'all bitched and complained at him for trying some experimental. Well, you forced him to go back, and here we are, 411,000 first week sales later. Mm-hmm. Again, why would he change up the formula if that's what he experimented and he got half of what he got for when he stays to the formula?
And he took up. He took out eight out of the top 10 slots on Billboard. Only person who stopped him from going number one was Taylor Swift.
Right.
And shout out to 21 Savage. He got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 spots on the Billboard. So now it's...
See, so you were like, oh, he has a higher chance to do it. I said, okay, well, let's
Taylor
see.
Swift, Drake, and 21 Savage. The other three that take up the entire spots. That's nuts. Yeah. 21 Savage out of all people. Good for 21. 21.
You can't keep me overseas for long. I'll trash your billboards. This motherfucker gonna die.
This motherfucker gonna die. Yeah, but 410,000? 411,000. 411,000. Good for them.
Yeah. Speaking of 21, mm-hmm. He made his way into the news for a couple reasons. We actually missed this last week because it just happened to come up right as we were about to record.
Mm-hmm.
But 21 says that he can beat anybody in his XXL 16 class in a versus.
Who's in his class again?
I'm glad you brought that up. There's actually... The 16 class is actually pretty well put together as time has gone by. That class includes 21.
And
then you got Lil Yachty, Then you got Lil Uzi.
Okay.
Then you got Designer. We know he's just going he going to scream for the entire verses. Dave East. You got Denzel Curry.
Okay.
You got G Herbo. Lil Dicky. Kodak Black.
He has a chance with Kodak.
And Anderson .Paak.
Oh, Anderson .Paak?
Yeah.
In a versus?
Yeah.
Anderson .Paak might be the closest
one. There's only two people where I'm not picking 21 over them.
And who was it?
Uzi and Anderson .Paak.
And Uzi and Anderson
.Paak. Because Anderson .Paak has the ultimate cheat code.
Bruno Mars.
Exactly.
Not just that. Bruno Mars, Dre. Who else, has he been featured on? He's been featured on hella shit. Grammys upon Grammys. Like, really. And Kodak Black, yeah. And Lil Uzi.
I think Kodak would give him a run for his money. I'll take 21. But as far as the two, if he set him up in a versus, I would pick him as the underdog.
Mm-hmm.
It's Uzi and Anderson .Paak.
Yeah. Lil Uzi got hits upon
Lil Yachty and, honestly, Lil Yachty, Kodak, either one of those versus 21, that would be fun.
Yeah.
Those would just be fun.
Yeah, that would be fun to watch.
That nigga Designer gonna go up in there and it's just gonna be 30 minutes of...
Yeah.
If I'm Lil Dicky, I just play Dave.
Mama, I am Dave. I'm still shocked he has not released none of the music from that, from the seasons at all, which is kind of weird to me, but I guess.
Yeah.
But he kind of got an argument, but I don't think he gonna beat all of them.
No, that's what he said he beat all of them. That's why I said I'd only pick Uzi and Anderson .Paak as the ones that...
Everybody else.
I'm like, oh, no, 21.
He's going to watch them niggas.
Yeah, because one thing that... remember, Uzi and Anderson .Paak got... I mean, I like Uzi as a solo artist as far as albums go.
Yeah.
But his singles and his features are always top-notch.
They hit.
But one thing you got to remember, 21 got that these other motherfuckers don't got.
He got Drake and J. Cole.
Oh, I wasn't even going to name drop them two.
Oh, who else has he got?
Hold up, wait a minute.
Y'all thought I was finished?
Hold up, wait a minute. Let me put some pimpin' in it.
You just looking for it?
Yeah, it's coming up.
I've been in the hills fucking superstars, feeling like a pop star.
Yeah, that's a cheat code.
Nobody's beating that.
Post Malone, nah.
Nobody's beating that. Again, you can put a lot of those ones up against Pac and Uzi, but everybody else, y'all ain't got nothing to beat this.
Mm-mm.
This was my turn on 21. I was like, oh, okay, wait a minute, you got some.
Yeah, you got some. Yeah.
Yeah, nah.
That is crazy. I just thought about it. He really is on the chart. He has the most records on the top 10 at the same time. It's him. Yeah, it's Taylor Swift, Drake, and 21 Savage. Those three. Out of all the people, 21 Savage he's like that dark horse out of the young generation that has a lot of accomplishments. He was the reason why J. Cole got a Grammy. He's the reason why he gets
21 Savage might be Steph Curry.
Ooh, why is that?
Nobody thought Curry was
going to be like that. Nah, not like
they
this.
They thought the Warriors wasted a pick. Remember, they traded Monte Ellis and they got mad.
All the Warrior fans were mad about that shit. His ankles are trash. He's too young, blah, blah, blah. He's light skinned. And
now look at 21.
Yeah. An OG damn near.
21 is extremely well off on his own. And I know this is going to sound wrong, so don't take this as a complete literal side by side.
Yeah.
But don't you see the 21 Drake kind of like KD and Steph?
Maybe, yeah. I mean, look, he got Morgan Freeman to Morgan Freeman to narrate his album, dog.
Right.
Savage Mode 2, which may be considered a classic down the line.
Yeah, 21 might be Steph.
Maybe.
He got all these accolades popping up out of nowhere. I thought this was supposed to be your generation. Like, you know, people banking on Roddy and a few others. 21 has been there consistently.
And he's been very quietly.
And niggas have hated him the entire time, or tried to hate him through the entire time. And after a point, it's just like, I can't do it no more.
I mean, in the beginning, me and you hated him. Well, we didn't hate him. We just didn't get his music like that in the early years. I didn't really like him. I remember Diane was telling me, like, nah, man, this dude is the next one. He got this shit. And I'm like, eh. But nah, man, I think Amber Rose helped him a bit. That helped him change a bit. Amber Rose, the relationship with her. I literally think that's what it was.
The I'm a hoe.
Yeah, the I'm a hoe. I think she got me doing stuff I never thought I'd do.
She got me drinking water.
She got me drinking water. And ever since then, man, he's been going up.
It's amazing what water can do for you.
Hey, drinking water and being
healthy. What can water do for you?
What can water do for you?
She got me drinking water.
And he changed, man. Like, ever since then, that's when his music started to change. He started singing R&B shit and all this other crap. Hey, man, he switched. He flipped up after that.
Yeah. One.
But yeah, that's now. He had to piss people off. He didn't piss me off because I understood what he was saying.
Definitely didn't piss me off because yeah. I also understood what he's saying. Yeah. And I actually came up with not a theory, but a hypothesis as to why he said it.
So 21 Savage was on Clubhouse. I still got Clubhouse and I forgot I have this shit, but he still uses it for whatever reason. And I didn't hear the full conversation. I didn't hear it in full context. It was only just a clip, but they only got this scene. They only got this clip where he pretty much said that Nas isn't relevant. Mm-hmm. The end. What kind of shit is that? I thought you would have pushed that.
What kind of shit is that?
Well, I kind of agreed with him. So
I know, but I'm just saying. No point. It was just like it was like a for the effect for the people.
My sound effect would have been.
Right. And I've been.
Nah, waiting, but what he baby. Really said was that he's not really relevant to the mainstream cloud. The only reason why he's popular is because he still drops music and he has a core fan base. Now. I know what he was saying. Pretty much what he meant to say verbatim, because he fucked up on it, was that Nas isn't relevant with his demographic of people,
right.
Which is the young folks. He's not on the charts. You don't hear Nas in the club like that. Nas is, not my own words, but to y'all, an old head. He's the OG. Nas doesn't make music like 21 Savage or Drake or the Lil Yachty's and all the mother motherfuckers. He doesn't make music like that because it's not his lane. And for these young kids, they don't give a fuck about Nas like that.
And I mean, let's be honest. When we were growing up, yes, it was nice to listen to the music of your elders, but that usually wasn't the first music you were going to.
Mm-mm.
I wasn't partying to Diana Ross.
I wasn't partying. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't partying to Stevie Wonder like that. Yeah. All that, or the Marvin Gaye or the Isley Brothers.
You know what I'm saying? Put on some Yin Yang Twins. Yeah,
turn that shit off. KBLX. Turn that shit to 94.9.
Yeah.
Now KBLX so sounds like 94.9.
Turn that shit to 107.7.
107.7. You kids don't know about that.
Yeah. That was the first Wild.
Yeah, that's what I first heard. Back That Ass Up was on Dead Ass, the uncensored version.
Do you remember 21st night of sense? Turn that shit off. Do you remember Back That Ass Up?
Yeah. But anyway, what were you about to say? What was the thing you agree with?
Oh no, I knew once I had the transcript in front of my face.
Yeah,
I knew exactly what he was saying. And I could also pinpoint why it was that he said it,
mm-hmm.
because it speaks less about 21 Savage in those words and his lack of words of clarifying, and it speaks more about the generation. This generation don't be looking at elders, and it seems like they give them this level of disrespect because they don't understand how longevity works, because they're in a situation where they got to produce so much bulk so quickly.
Yeah.
They don't have time to think about legacy and longevity.
No, they got to keep dropping hits after hits after hits.
So what happens is that it looks confusing to how Nas has been doing this since 91 when he was on the halftime single.
Mm-hmm.
He's been doing this for 30 plus
live
years.
Live at the barbecue.
Live at the barbecue. And it's hard to comprehend in a world now where if you don't produce music within 6 months, you are irrelevant. Yeah,
that's why niggas were calling Kendrick not relevant no more, because he didn't drop no new music for like 5 years. So people were calling, they were writing him off saying he's irrelevant and all this other shit. And it's just like, that's not how this works. Because back in the day, people actually took their time to drop albums.
Right.
It took Michael 5 years to drop fucking Bad after Thriller. It took Kendrick 5 years to drop. It took Justin Timberlake hella years. It took hella people to drop music because they care about the art. But, you know, we don't live in that era no more.
Right. And I can even go to a point to say when artists were releasing music that quickly,
mm-hmm.
there was, again, context matters. There was always a reason for it being released quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Tupac.
Mm-hmm.
How did he drop basically 4 albums within an 18-month span? Me Against the World. That was to try to pay bills for lawyer fees.
Mm-hmm.
All Eyes on Me, and then Don Culuminati. He had a 3-album deal contract with Death Row. He was trying to get off Death Row.
Mm-hmm.
That explains that. That explains how that happens.
Yep.
Prince. We ain't got to say shit much about Prince. Prince was just a madman when it came to producing music. And then when he felt Warner Brothers was taking advantage of him, it was,
I'm just a sign now.
He goes, matter of fact, you take this, that, and this, mm-hmm. and I'm going to put this out as the artist formerly known as Prince. At the same time, I put that shit out mm-hmm. as Prince the Slave.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So there was always a reason for producing in a multitude.
Like multiple bulks of music and right. shit. And right now, a lot of artists do that now. We don't get, like, artists now, like, just wait forever to drop an album because they get older, their audience gets older, and they just want to serve them. Like, Beyonce took how many years from Lemonade to Renaissance? Like, what, 5 years? 6 years? To drop that album?
6 years.
Yes.
Yeah, 5 years. Yeah, 2016. So 5 years.
Well, she gave it the
gift. No, 16. 6 years. I'm sorry.
Yeah, she gave the gift, though. The Lion King shit, but that's more of a soundtrack. But, I
mean, Kendrick did that. And you could even say Prince did that with Purple Rain.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Michael did that from Thriller to Bad. You know? But it's like, you got to have that core fan base. And that's what 21 Savage said. Nas has a core fan base. It's not as massive, but it's enough to keep the lights on.
Why? Yeah, I didn't take that as disrespect at all.
Yeah,
That was actually a very... If it was put into the amount of words necessary to clarify and, you know, basically cover his ass,
mm-hmm.
then, yeah, people would have agreed with it. And you still would have people bitching. But overall, people would have agreed with that.
Yeah, niggas were really mad about that shit.
But he wasn't wrong. I actually thought it was very very mature point of view from 21.
Yeah.
And him recognizing, in the midst of him going and being a part of the number one project of the week,
mm-hmm.
him saying, well, Nas is really relevant to my group, my demographic, but his fan base and his core base is going to make sure that he pops every single time he drops.
He is 30 years old. He does not look 30.
He's been out for a cool minute.
I know. I thought he was at least 25 or shit. That nigga is 30.
He's been out for a cool minute.
Wow. That's nuts. Damn, he getting old.
He can't be 19 dating Amber Rose. I mean, you could, but...
Hey, man.
You know.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. When he got Amber Rose changed his whole outlook on life. Even though they're not together no more, that girl changed his whole outlook on life. Good for her. Round of applause for her.
I don't know.
She an all-star.
I don't know.
Why?
Because you want to say that, but then...
She might
how much something. Of an all-star is she when A.E. is now with Cher?
Hey, wow. Cher is like 70-something, and she's still... Man, she might have got that fire.
Somebody said, one thing about Oakland, nigga, he ain't gonna go homeless.
Nope. I don't even know who that dude is.
Round of applause for both Amber Rose and Cher.
Now, who's that dude that was Cher? I never heard of him.
That's the president of Last Kings.
Oh.
And he's also on Def Jam's payroll.
Good for him.
Yeah, he's from Oakland.
Another Oakland nigga.
Right.
Ryan Kruger, that nigga. And 21 Savage. Just for the fuck of it. He ain't from Oakland, he's from England, but still.
21 from 96th Street.
From 96th Street. He looks like an Oakland nigga. If I look at 21 and say, he kind of seems like an Oakland nigga.
This nigga gonna die.
This nigga gonna die. So what's the Nas shit now? Yeah, I got that shit too.
Yeah, so speaking of Nas, keeping on this before we actually get into
the
third work of the trilogy.
So...
Yeah, Nas. I was all the way wrong years ago. I was all the way wrong. There was no plan.
See, let's do a rewind. If y'all been here since the beginning, when Nas dropped the Kanye West produced album.
Yeah,
Nas
this is what happens when you're still getting your feet wet as a podcaster and you don't have time. I'm talking.
Okay.
And as a podcaster, you don't really have time to really go through details, so you find a link.
On Genius,
and it's like, oh, it's broken down into the seven deadly sins, and I'm like, hey, that sounds logical.
And
why wouldn't it be logical?
And I told him, nah, I think someone's just genius has made that shit up. I don't think there was a plan for this shit. No, it's kind of cool that you were reading lyrics and shit, breaking the shit down.
And it did flow, because, I mean, why wouldn't Nas do it that way?
It wouldn't make sense.
Yeah, that's all I was going off of. But, again, this is what happens when you research something 10 minutes before you hit record.
So, what happens is that someone on Reddit was on Twitter Spaces, and they were talking to... Someone that was...
I don't remember the name of the damn album.
It was Nasir.
Thank you.
It was Nasir. It's his name. So anyways...
Namor.
Nasir. Rene. Namor.
Nasir. Rene.
Namor. Nasir.
That'd be a great-ass group. NRN.
I just have this image of both of them and Nas in the middle.
Namor. Rene.
Nasir. Like a Telemundo show. Like a what's it called? Televela? Anyway, so apparently...
All them niggas walking out to hate me now.
In slow motion. With the water behind them more. Cameras for, you know, Rene because he was filming Janet. Anyway.
Rockefeller chains behind knots.
Anyway, there was this chick that was on Twitter Spaces. I don't know her name. They don't get the name. Someone on Reddit said someone from Nas's camp was on Twitter, and they were talking on Twitter Spaces, and they talked for a good 20 minutes about the chaotic creative process for Nasir. So if y'all remember in 2018, that's when Kanye was doing his good month when he was dropping, and you know. Was
producing in bulk.
In bulk. It was Daytona. Then it was Kid See Ghost. I forgot the order. But Nasir was next. So, according to her, I'm gonna read all the bullet points. She said Kanye prioritized Pusher the most and basically felt like Nas was the GOAT, so he didn't have to give him much attention.
Then it was, he didn't start sending Nas beats until 4 days before the album dropped.
Pause right there.
What kind of shit is that?
Somebody did this.
What? Because I remember when Kanye was doing this shit, I told y'all, the only albums that I feel that were done were Daytona and Kid See Ghost. Those rest of the albums, he's just freestyling it. He's still probably in the middle of recording.
He's still probably recording right now. Ready to do updates.
You trying to tell me the album was due on Friday.
And he starts sending them on Monday or Tuesday.
So Nas was just sitting there waiting for you. Just in the beats. The reason why the album got delayed today was because Nas was still recording tracks in a makeshift booth in the car on the way to the listening party. Nas was pissed. Told Kanye, "What are you doing? You got me in a bad place." Kanye said, "You're Nas. You shouldn't be nervous."
Oh, yeah.
What happened to your chef?
There's powerful niggardry at work here. Again.
This nigga Kanye didn't start sending Nas beats.
No, fuck all that.
Days.
Fuck all that. He had this nigga Nas recording in a car.
On the way to the listening session.
This nigga was in a coupe.
On the way to the listening session. You gotta also remember Diddy was still recording vocals while the listening session was still going on. Remember that?
Yep.
At Khaled's house with Big Sean there.
There was zero post-production done on the album. That's why Nas's vocals sound off from the beat a little more for the whole album. Most of it was done in the final 2 days.
What? You know, that time you were pissed off Wakeboard. Yeah, because they were still recording vocals for the shit. Russian.
It was supposed to be Nas's last album on Def Jam, but because of the fiasco, Def Jam wanted another album, so he threw some scraps together to deliver Lost Tapes 2.
She said they have a vault of a lot of shelved Nas material, including the Nas Out and Done project. They gave Def Jam his worst cuts for Lost Tapes 2 to get out of the deal. Okay. There's so much to process. Now I don't want to listen to that album ever again, and I like Nas here.
Now we have King's Disease 3.
1, 2, and 3. This was...
King's Disease 3.
Tried to process it. You keep saying, King's Disease 3. Thank you, Hit-Boy. Thank God for Hit-Boy.
Oh, man. T'Challa said, "I got a King's Disease nonsense."
Who you telling? 1 in 2020. 2 in 2021. 3 in 2022. This album is perfection for me. Like, no features throughout the entire. There's only one feature. Mario was on the Serious Interlude. But when it comes to rap verses, this was all Nas. 100% raw, uncut Nas. Hit-Boy literally adapted even more to Nas's, like, or his, just his, just him. And it just, this was amazing. Amazing music, amazing raps, and he just gets better. He's in his late 40s. What the fuck? Like, this nigga dropped 4 great projects. I'm still listening to Magic that dropped on Christmas Eve last year. That's still on my top list of this year. I'm at a loss for words how great this album is.
Yeah, it's really well put together. I still sound right.
Okay.
I'm not backing down off of it, too.
I'm not going to argue with you.
When you give Nas some grooves and some bass lines like this.
Sounds like a New York nigga made this shit for him. Like, this was...
But it still had funk.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It still had the funk.
Thun was fire. Michael and Quincy, 30.
I mean, just taking the Heartbeats, you know, the important song in the Heartbeats.
Oh, yeah. Heartbeats, I'm legit.
Yeah, flipping that. But I mean, you get down to the nitty gritty. Once a Man, Twice a Child.
That fucking track. I came at the perfect time for me. This dropped on the 11th. My birthday is on the 13th. That
made me really... also came on the same day where Takeoff's public viewing was held.
Yeah. I was sitting back listening to that, and I was thinking about my life, thinking about, damn, I'm about to be 35. And it literally spoke to me. It literally, like, I don't know how Nas does this shit. Like, this album sounds like I am grown, I am single, and I am happy with my life. That's what this whole album sounds like to me.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Again, I've never had any issue with Nas's lyricism.
Mm-hmm.
It was just the production that I've always believed didn't fully enhance his talents.
Yeah, I get you.
But there's these, again, it does sound like an East Coast album.
Very.
However, the groove lines still make it very distinct, and they still stand out significantly.
Hit-Boy sounds like he just gets better. Nas and Hit-Boy just sound like they just get better.
Yeah.
And just...
This is all I've been saying all these years, which was, if you just put him with one musical director that could just say, just rap, I'll take care of everything else.
Mm-hmm.
This is what you get. I mean...
It was 17 tracks, and it was just him. Just Nas. No features. He just was on a whole other level. My favorite line was on Thun when he goes and says, sometimes I go back and just dissect Takeover and just text Jay-Z, nah, this shit ain't over.
Yeah.
And then he even talked about it on The Daily Show, and he told him, like, yeah, when I dropped the track list for the album, Jay-Z just posted a picture of all his Grammys. He said it laughingly, but you could tell he was like, I'm on to you, nigga. I see what you're doing. Jay-Z needs this fucking... I don't say he needs to drop an album. I'm like, dude, this is 4 albums in, what, 3 years from Nas. All of them are damn near classics. Like, back to back to... Like, consecutively. Mm-hmm. Like, and they're all quality shit. Like, huh? That's the only ones I could think that did that was E-40, but that was for the Bay. You know?
Right.
This is just on a whole other level, like, man.
Yeah, I have no problem reinserting Nas into my top 5 now. he's clearly shown that when you put these productions, these last 4 projects have really been great. Even when I wasn't feeling Magic at the time, it was just kind of like fatigue at that point. The year was ending, he had just dropped King's Disease 2. So it was like, after a while, I went back and re-listened to it, I was like, yeah, this is great for the fall. I know he released it in December, but it just sounds better when fall is just approaching.
Yeah, like, I'll go back and re-listen to it. It's still on my list, on my top 10 of the whole year, and it was like, this is still fucking good. Now he might have 2 albums on the top 10. That's fucking nuts on my top 10. Because right now we're getting to that part of the year where we're just wrapping shit up, because Grammy nominations came out, which we're gonna get to, and seems like everyone dropped, unless someone wants to get cute. But everybody dropped, and everyone's going to be winding down.
Yeah.
So.
Somebody that's not going to get a Grammy nomination, but he gets all the love here.
Hey.
Prince Soul.
Hey.
Dropped his latest album, his first one in 4 years.
Oh, shit.
Roses While I'm Here.
Roses right. Hey, man. You need those.
Prince was talking, dog.
Mm.
Prince was talking.
Some of that Prince Soul.
Baby.
I hit that. I hit him up. I was like, what's your problem, though? Because he was
venting.
This was actually the second to last track.
Yeah, I see. Project. Yeah.
Now, he was talking on Bobby Bonilla.
Mm.
He was talking.
Huh.
I'm not even going to... I'm going to let people get to this one again. Roses While I'm Here, Prince Soul.
Shout out to Prince.
Friend of the show. Brother off mic. Great, great damn album. Sound Crazy is one of the singles with Malia. Mm-hmm. Malia's vocals layer just sounded incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Again, Prince, he does, there's aspects of Prince, and you know, besides being my boy, that I just enjoy about his artist, his artistship and his musicianship. Lots of sports references. If you pay attention to sports, you get those.
Yeah,
and then the melodics.
Yeah,
he's got them.
Niner fan and Warrior fan. I mean, if you're a Niner fan, hey man, you always a friend for me.
Shit. But shout out to Prince Soul.
Shout out to Prince Soul.
Hell of a project. Shout out to Nas. Yeah. And shout out to Glorilla.
Oh yeah.
She's on it.
Oh, she dropped her album too?
She is on it, yeah.
Oh wow. Good
yeah, anyways, her. Life's Great is the name of the album.
How was that?
It was 9 tracks.
Okay.
Two of them you've already heard.
The one with Cardi.
Which is Tomorrow Part 2, because the first edition was on the CMG collab.
Mm-hmm.
And then they went ahead and put FNF on there.
Oh, nice.
But man, I really enjoy Glorilla.
She got nominated for a Grammy, too.
Yeah, I really do enjoy it. This was a nice, I don't want to say an introduction, because people got their introduction before she signed to CMG.
Mm-hmm.
This is more of a, yeah, she's really signed to CMG.
Yeah, that's one of those moments.
Yeah, it's one of those.
Huh.
Yeah, shout out to Glorilla, man. I really like her.
Hey. Yeah, now, we can just keep on music. Grammy nominations dropped tonight, or this is today. Hear the horns. It's arguing time! You know, and for nominations for Album of the Year, I knew this was going to happen. I said it was going to be Adele. I said it was going to be Bad Bunny. I said it was going to be Beyonce. I said it was going to be Kendrick. And I said it was going to be Lizzo and Harry Styles. I was right on all of them. They added a few people. They added ABBA for Voyage. Mary J. Blige got nominated for Good Morning Gorgeous.
Monet.
And Brandy Charlie, some chick named Brandy Charlie and The Silent Days and Coldplay got nominated. Shout out to them. Mm. Song of the Year, Lizzo for About Damn Time. Taylor Swift got nominated. Harry Styles, Steve Lacy. Beyonce for Break My Soul. Adele, Kendrick, Bonnie Raitt. And DJ Khaled's God Did got nominated for Song of the Year.
Mm.
That's what I see.
Shout out Jay-Z.
Yeah. Well, no, it's not more.
Well, shout out to Wayne and Ross.
And Ross. I don't want to diminish on there. Them. Yeah,
they're on because they served their purpose on that record.
Song of the Year, yeah. And it's Record of the Year, Kendrick. Kendrick's for, for Kendrick, it was, what's it called? The Heart Part 5 got nominated for Song of the Year and Record of the Year. Hmm. I was like, oh, shit. Beyonce's Break My Soul got nominated for that shit, too. Now, this is your territory, Best R&B Song. Beyonce for Cuff It. Mary J. Blige for Good Morning Gorgeous. Money Long, Hours and Hours, Jasmine Sullivan, Hurt Me So Good, and PJ Morton, Please Don't Walk Away. Did you hear those albums?
Yeah. Those albums are the singles.
Best R&B song, I mean.
Yeah, song.
Okay. Best Progressive R&B Album, Corey Henry, Operation Funk, Steve Lacy, Gemini Rights, Terrence Martin, Drones, Moonchild, Starfruit, and Taking the Bangers, Red Balloon. You hear those?
Yeah, I'm all right. Terrence Martin's always going to get my vote.
Yeah. You're going to like this one. Best R&B album, Mary J. Blige, Good Morning Gorgeous. Chris Brown, Breezy, The Deluxe. Robert Glasper.
The
Breezy Deluxe. Oh, yeah. Good Morning Gorgeous, The Deluxe, too. That got nominated. So, Deluxe
More
albums.
More Monet.
The Deluxe.
More Monet.
Robert Jasper, or Glasper, Black Radio 3, Lucky Day, Candy Drip, and PJ Morton, Watch the Sun for Best R&B Album.
Not mad at those. I mean, of course, I spoke highly of both Candy Drip and Breezy. So. Mm-hmm.
For Best New Artist, there's a whole bunch of artists, but the ones I saw the most was Money Long and Lotto. Shout out to Lotto.
Yeah, good for her.
Uh-huh.
Good for both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Money Long got a great album, too. I didn't come on and talk about it.
But you were talking about her a lot.
When I was talking about her last year.
Yeah.
When she dropped, and then that Hours and Hours song, you couldn't escape any fucking Valentine's Day post without seeing it.
Yeah.
But her album that she dropped in the end of September or last month in October?
Yeah.
It was phenomenal.
I remember you telling me about that. Then we go to R&B Performance, Beyonce, Virgo's Groove, Mary J. Blige, and Anderson .Paak. Even though Anderson .Paak said he wasn't going to submit his shit, he still got nominated. Good for Here With Me. Money Long again for Hours and Hours. Lucky Day for Over and Jasmine Sullivan for Hurt Me So Good. And then the final thing for Best Traditionary R&B Performance, we got Snow Allegra for Do For Love, because she properly released it. Babyface featuring Ellie Mae, Keeps On Falling. Mm-hmm. Beyonce for Plastic Off the Sofa. Adam Blackstone featuring Jasmine Sullivan, Round Midnight. And Mary J. Blige again for Good Morning Gorgeous. Man, Mary J. Blige, this is the most I've ever seen her nominated like that.
All right.
Now we get into the rap category. DJ Khaled for best rap performance for God Did. Doja Cat for Vegas. Gunna and Future and Young Thug for Pushin' P. Well, two of them ain't gonna get that shit. I'm just saying. Hit Kid and Gorilla for FNF Let's Go. And Kendrick for The Heart Part 5. Best melodic rap performance.
I think FNF has a good chance to take that.
For best rap performance?
Yeah.
That's if the fucking voters know who they are.
Yeah.
You know? Best melodic rap performance. Beautiful with Future and SZA for the DJ Khaled. Future Aubrey and Timbs for Wait For You. Jack Harlow, First Class. Kendrick Blast and Amanda Ruffer for Die Hard. And Lotto for Big Energy Live. So I was like, the live version.
I think the culture pick would be Wait For You. It's got to be tossed between Lotto or Kendrick.
I feel First Class might win it, to be honest. Part of me feels like it was
gonna win. I can see it. I can see it. I think the culture pick just throughout the year
was Wait For You.
Yeah, Wait For You was,
it was
perfect
everywhere.
Timing. Mm. It was everywhere as a result of that perfect timing. It went right into summer.
Stayed on the charts for a long. It's still on the charts to this day.
Yeah, the video got you right for House of the Dragon.
Mm-hmm.
Just it did a lot. So culturally, I would say that. But you know, this ain't culture.
This is just politics.
Yeah. So I don't know. I would say for our pick, Wait For You. But if I had to do I'll do a toss up between Lotto or Kendrick.
Yeah. Let's
see.
Best rap song: Jack Harlow and Drake for Churchill Downs. God Did for Khaled. Kendrick for Part 5. Push and P again for Gunna and featuring Young Thug. And Wait For You for best rap song. Now here comes the controversy. Air the Horns for best rap album. This had hip hop Twitter really upset. For best rap album, we got DJ Khaled for God Did. Future for I Never Liked You. Jack Harlow for Come Home, The Kids Miss You. Kendrick for Mr. Moran, The Big Steppers. And Pusha T, It's Almost Dry. And that's it. Nothing for nobody else. They don't care about this culture, man. I was just like, wow. No love for Vince Staples. No love for Denzel.
Vince Staples wasn't getting nominated.
No love for Denzel Curry.
Knew he wasn't getting nominated.
And no love for Freddie Gibbs. And he just dropped the album right before the cutoff date.
Yeah, I knew they weren't going to get nominated.
Yeah, I guess.
Wasn't necessarily, you know, not surprised. Don't mean I agree, but I'm not surprised.
Yeah. I mean, it is what it is. Their Grammys are in February, as always. But in other little liner notes, Beyonce is now the most nominated artist ever. She broke Jay-Z's record for the most nominations. Good for her. And here's another little tidbit that I think none of y'all knew. Diana Ross got nominated for an album for a Grammy. First time in years nominated for Best Traditionary Pop Album for Thank You. So 12th time nominated ever in her career, and she never won one.
Hmm.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
But other than that, that's it. Like, Kendrick got nominated. She's like the most nominated for male. This is his fourth time nominated for Album of the Year. You know? So, we gonna see. I'm rooting for Beyonce and Kendrick. And that's about it. It might go, who knows?
Let's Future and Drake take a few, at least one. They deserve that. That song is a great fucking song.
It really is.
And Tems would get a Grammy for it.
She really would.
You know what I'm saying?
So, I think Tems is nominated for an album for a Grammy too. I think she
I wouldn't be surprised if her EP got it done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's just like,
I don't need them to Future. I'm not saying go sweep it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying that for one of the categories they're nominated in, it'd be nice if Wait For You took one.
And it's wild how Drake and Anderson .Paak did not submit no music for the Grammys to consider, and they still got nominated.
Right.
Yeah. Drake got nominated 3 times for features.
Mm-hmm.
So.
That's your star power.
Yeah. We ain't gonna show up. Because honestly, I was thinking about Honestly Never Mind. I'm like, this probably would have gotten nominated in probably some of the dance categories.
They would have threw that shit in rap.
What'd you say?
They would have threw that shit in rap still. Just for Jimmy Cooks.
Yeah, just for Jimmy Cooks. Yeah. But it was.
We can't let these nigga bars go with the dance.
Can't go these nigga bars with the dance. Beyonce shit got nominated in the dance categories and shit. But
she ain't had them nigga bars.
She ain't had them nigga bars. All I had the Dreams nominated for Best Songwriter.
Yeah, of course.
And Boy Wonder's nominated for Producer of the Year.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
But that's that. That's the Grammys.
Speaking of Diana Ross.
Mm.
Just look over your shoulders, honey!
It's been 30 years.
Since the greatest miniseries of all time, The Jacksons' American Dream. The miniseries that aired on ABC in the 90s.
For what? Introduced us to Jason Weaver.
Jason Weaver. Fucking Terrence Howard was in it.
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
I'm a Jackson, man.
I'm a Jackson, man. Honestly, when I saw how Joe Jackson looks now, Terrence Howard could play Joe Jackson if they ever redo this shit again. Dead ass. Oh, man. What's your memories of this shit? I mean, we talked about this. We quote this movie on damn near every fucking podcast. Angela Bassett played Catherine Jackson. Like Kiki Palmer says, all on the lips.
Oh, we now, hate when y'all talk about leaving Mary, leaving the group. How could she do this to our fans?
How could she do this to our fans? No, seriously, what's your memory?
This nigga got mad at them for growing up.
Like he wasn't gonna grow up. You fucking the bitches! How could you do this to our fans? And he just stomps away.
You fucking the bitches instead of backing me up on fucking that mic up. Michael might cry.
Anyway, so what are your memories of this whole like?
Michael, Marlon, we're down the pool.
We're down the pool. You gonna get it?
Get a switch. You gonna get it?
Joseph. Angela Bassett deserved an Emmy for that. She also deserves an Oscar for fucking what's it called? Wakanda Forever. But yeah. Still, go to bed. Go to bed. Go to bed, Joseph.
She went from the mother to the for the king of pop to mother of the king of Wakanda.
And then the mother of Biggie.
Well, I was just going from 92 to 22.
Yeah,
to
yeah. 22. Yeah. She really played the fuck out of that role. She was Catherine Jackson. Yeah. Watching it, she was Catherine. It's funny, when I look at the promos, like the promo picture for the cover, you see it says the Jackson's American Dream, and they show the whole family, and then you see old girl who played Diana Ross in the middle. You don't see Angela Bassett. I'm like, the fuck?
Yeah, because it was
old girl from Hang with Mr. Cooper.
Holly Robinson Pete.
Yeah, because Hang with Mr. Cooper is still going on, so that makes sense why she was on the cover.
Yeah.
But nah, man, that is the closest we're ever going to get to a Michael docu-pic for now. It's the most, I won't say it's the most accurate, but...
They should have dedicated more time to the Pepsi commercial.
They did.
More.
That was the clip that always shows when it came on his head. He slept down the steps. Rolled down the steps. He's like,
Part of me wonders if they got that sound bite and that's what they use for San Andreas when CJ gets on fire.
You know, they have, I don't know if you've seen the real footage of that. I don't know if you ever seen the real footage when his hair got caught on fire. Michael was spinning. He was spinning.
All right.
No, yeah. All right. Yeah. But the fire went out when he was spinning. The fire went out when he was spinning, so he didn't really have a chance to take his whole hair. You can look it up, it's on YouTube. That's when he fell to the floor, but he didn't fall down the damn steps and shit. Come like on, that
man, you can't say something like that, because the first thing that came to my mind is, oh, he's spinning, nigga! He's spinning,
nigga! He's on fire, nigga! He's on fire!
Everybody hates Mike!
Oh, shit, man.
Oh, yeah!
And it's even wilder. The guy who played Michael, he died after the movie came out. Yeah, that's the
cancer,
wildest.
Right?
Something like that, yeah. And Michael chose him.
Yeah.
Because they said they had to go and pick who they wanted to play. When Michael saw him, he's like, yep, that's him. He got his dance moves down, recreated the Motown 25 shit. He was Michael. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he played it. Man, I might just go and watch that shit when I get home. It's on fucking YouTube. I just skip the beginning. I don't want to see that shit. I go right to when they get... I just go right in the middle.
When they were supposed to be like, I don't want to watch you poor niggas.
No, not the poor. I want to watch you poor. I want to watch them poor. I go right when he starts beating them. Best part of the whole fucking movie.
Beats by Joe.
Guy who played Joe Jackson, man, he deserved an Emmy. He's like, okay, I got a dream. I want to see the kids in the streets. I want to out there and sing, I got a dream, Katie.
Give me some butter pecan.
Some butter pecan, baby.
Butter pecan by Joe.
I don't want that strawberry. I want butter pecan. Then the phone rings and he's all chopping up with it. He got the money I sent you.
Nah, bitch, the money.
It was the money.
I sent the money.
And Angela Bassett, I think he said it's all in the lips.
Yep.
Just, no, I heard it all. I don't want you. And he drives off, and then the most epic quote of all, Mother! Michael doesn't even stop. Michael probably saw that. I don't sound like that. Like, he said his real voice. I don't sound like that, do I?
You know, Jermaine and Tito were roasting his ass.
They probably texted, Mother! Shut up, guys! Mother!
sound like that. Yes, you do.
Yeah, you do this to our fans. How can you do this to our fans?
I'm gonna get mad at his mama for divorcing daddy. And then gonna say, how you do this to the fans?
Do this to my fans. He was so mad. Like, how y'all gonna get girlfriends? It right. was so sad that you guys. I was like, what the hell?
And then, of course, the brothers were treating it like they was doing some revolutionary shit.
Yeah, man, fight the power. Fight him. Go against it. Do what needs to be done. Like, nigga, you just growing up. Shut the
fuck up. You just got popping. Shut up.
And then they did the grown version of Never Can Say Goodbye. Remember that part? Yeah. I was looking for that version like my whole life. And I was like, oh, so they just made this scene up.
Yeah.
It's out. There is another version
of him. Michael's just staring at them niggas on tour like, I'm never doing this shit again.
No, that was after Thriller.
That's no, what, I know. But what I'm saying is I'm never doing this shit again.
That's the craziest part. Thriller was selling all them units. And he had to go in there, record another album with his fucking brothers and go on tour with them. I'm moonwalking. I'm doing motion picture shit with Thriller. I'm doing real cinema shit, niggas. I'm trying to do some revolutionary, some real revolutionary shit.
You want me to go on tour with my brothers?
What brothers? I'm the king now. I'm showing up to the White House, nigga. Not you, me.
That sounds like Michael Killmonger talking yeah. about all that brother shit is dead. All that I'm the king now.
I'm the king now. Michael, as you can see, we are not dead. Shit, man. Nigga going to the nigga performing on Motown 25, getting invited to the White House. Fred Astaire calling him. Getting no, it's funny when he talks about how he's like, yeah, I did get nominated for an Emmy for that performance, which I lost. But yeah. Just adds that little part in there, which I lost.
He forgot to use the voice.
It was in the great. It was in the making of Thriller. He's like, yeah, I got a call from Fred Astaire, and I got nominated for that performance too for an Emmy. Yeah. That I lost.
Yeah.
And he pauses. Gary, what he's saying.
The Gary was coming out of that nigga real quick. All them gangbangers that Freddie Gibbs be talking about. Michael Jackson was the original gang member.
Yeah, I was nominated. Then I lost. Why do you think Thriller was created?
What was that, Michael? Oh, nothing.
How do you think Thriller was created? He was waiting to get nominated for Off the Wall. He won one award, but they didn't recognize. They're like, oh, they're going to feel this. Wait till my next album, mama. Wait till my next album, mother. And he made Thriller. Speaking of Thriller. Yeah, so the estate grew some fucking brain cells, kind of. And they finally, well, only on Apple Music and fucking Tidal and Spotify.
Limitations.
For whatever reason, they uploaded Thriller in 4K. And when I say 4K, this fucker is clear.
That shit's pristine.
Pristine. Like, they just filmed this shit yesterday type of shit. It's so clear, people. In the very beginning of the video, when he's sitting in his car talking to old girl, when he turns around, you see the hairpiece when he got burned. You see that shit.
That shit's so clear. You can see the final black cell in his pigment. It's like, oh shit, it's right there. It's
right there.
And then Pepsi burned it off.
You see part of his goatee. I was like, oh, wow, I didn't see that shit. You see the clear trees when the camera pans in. It is clear, people. I've never seen the video that when he turned into a werewolf, you saw all the makeup. In the red jacket, you see the zippers and shit. It is clear. And I'm like, god damn, niggas, what took y'all so long to do this shit? Well, it's the 40th anniversary of Thriller that's coming next week. But still, it's the principle. Like, the fuck? And then they uploaded up the 4K version of Beat It. And it's so clear, niggas, that when you see the background dancers, you see how I never noticed this. Them niggas were dancing off key like a motherfucker.
Who was the brother on tour that just kept spinning and they kept looking at that nigga?
That was Jackie.
Yeah. Dancers was dancing like Jackie.
They were hella off beat and everything. They couldn't even keep up with Michael. And they just took that take. Oh, no one's going to notice this. Because for the longest time, I never noticed it until it got clear. And I'm like, ooh, yeah, Michael probably would have never want this shit out. He probably would have digitally altered it. Probably would have took them niggas out.
You know who digitally altered that shit, though?
Who?
Renee.
Renee. And you know who was sitting next to him? Namor. And then who cleared it? Nazir. No, man, that 4K Thriller, it was originally, like, released in, like, movie theaters on 3D for, like, a limited time. And, yeah, Micro fans have been begging for this shit for years, and they finally got it. So, well, kind of. I don't know what's taking them so long to upload it on YouTube. Does no one know how to fucking upload something from YouTube?
Guess not.
I guess. But, hee. Y'all should watch it. It's on Apple Music. if y'all had a chance.
Yeah. Speaking of revisiting old, old things from the past, Mike Tyson and Evander Holyfield, they're coming together. They dropping holy ears. Once again, Mike Tyson and Evander Holyfield, if you had them on your 2022 bingo chart, congratulations. Holy ears. It's an edible in the shape of an ear.
Yeah, and the promotional picture is Mike Tyson trying to bite off his ear again with Holyfield laughing.
It says, from Mike Tyson, if I was on cannabis, I wouldn't have bit his ear. I say yes. It's very, very true, Mike. I don't think you would have bit his ear if you were on cannabis.
That shit really happened, by the way. That nigga really did bite that nigga's ear off in the middle of fighting.
That was frustrated.
He was that frustrated. You know how mad you gotta be to bite a nigga's ear?
Well, because he kept... to be fair, he was hitting him with low blows.
Yeah, I would have bit his ear, too.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't like he just got hungry out at one point and was like, grab a Snickers. No, I've got the nigga ear.
I got the nigga ear.
No, he kept getting low blows and they wouldn't call it. So he said, oh, I want you to sit one more time.
He bit it twice, too.
Yeah. And came back and wanted some more.
And then spit it.
He got to try that shit with hot sauce.
He got suspended from boxing for that shit. And because of that suspension, that's what made him go to WWE. If he never bit Evander Holyfield's ear, that moment between him and Austin would have never happened. That's wild to think about. Yeah. Huh. Everything happens for a reason.
Exactly. Shouts out to Mike Tyson and Evander Holyfield, man. Yeah, of course, everybody knows how I feel about Mike Tyson. Mm-hmm. It's one of the... I'd go head-to-head with Satan before I go with Mike Tyson.
Mm-hmm. But, even in his 50s.
Yeah, but I will say this. Like I've always said, if Mike Tyson was in my family, I'd shower that man with love.
Mm-hmm.
Not just because I'm afraid of him. He really looks like he is a kindred soul and heart that just needed some love.
That's all he really needs.
I love him. I'm Uncle Mike. I swear to God.
Same here.
I'd fight for that nigga.
I don't think you need to fight for that nigga. He'll fight for himself.
No, because you got to make sure you got to protect. I know, you saw what he did on the plane.
Yeah.
You just can't have him doing that to everybody.
Yeah, he'll kill everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm so happy he did that shit to WAC 100. Why you being so disrespectful?
All right, Mike, you got it.
Yeah, you got it. No, but not WAC. He had to keep talking. And then, yeah.
Yeah.
Shout out to them.
We got the series finale of Atlanta. We have reached the end.
The end.
I haven't been waiting for it, but it gets a nice grand salute.
I've been waiting, baby. Salute.
That was a perfect send off.
It was a good send off.
No, it wasn't good. That was a perfect send off.
It really was perfect, yeah. It really was.
Now you just gotta sit there and think, was this all Darius's dream?
Or wasn't it?
Right.
I don't know. And apparently, Judge Judy really is thick.
No.
It was Photoshop. Hey, fuck it. Hey, man, it's real to me.
You stop yourself from doing something bad.
Hey.
You made me do something bad.
Nah, but I was... And I don't know if I'm thinking too deep into it, but don't you think that part of the restaurant was kind of like a subliminal to Dave, in a way? Because they're in a black restaurant, and it's like you got something pristine and real, and you want to go to that white shit at Popeye's?
No, I don't think it was a shot at Dave. I think it was a shot at everybody else doing in the real world.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was a shot at Dave.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I'll take it too deep into it. But that's the thing with Atlanta. You have to think too deep. It's like it's up to your own interpretation because this show's so, like, on another level. But I am going to miss this show. And also, I think this is the perfect time for it to leave because... Looking on the timeline, no one was really talking about it.
To be fair, Black Panther 2 had dropped that.
And Black Panther, yeah. That's so. Season 3, earlier this year, they're talking about people going to see Black Panther 2. And then...
Right.
The series finale. That's when Black Panther 2 dropped.
Yeah.
That's some wild shit. I don't know if Donald Glover thought this through or if it. Well, no, I don't think he thought it through. That's when the Kevin Samuels episode dropped, when Kevin Samuels died.
Right.
Yeah, everything was just like falling into place for him. This shit literally fell into place for him. Because you got to remember, Black Panther 2 was supposed to come out in February. Like, Wakanda Forever was supposed to drop in February, and they pushed it to November.
Right.
So, yeah, everything just worked out. I'm going to miss this show. I'm not going to lie, but it served its. This was a series that served its purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Chappelle Show. Boondocks, Atlanta. Three black shows that served their purpose and just went off into the sunset. To me.
Yeah, you can't say that about the Boondocks.
Shut up.
I don't know what the fuck you talking about.
Shut up. It ended after season 4.
Well, three.
Yeah, I know. Season 4.
Season three.
Yeah, and after
season three.
Four.
And
after
season three.
Glad you said it.
No, you didn't hear nothing. Yeah. I said season three.
It's on record.
No, shit. You didn't hear shit.
You don't know how to edit.
that's alternative facts right there.
Right.
You heard season three. And ended after season three. But, yeah.
But yeah, now shouts out to the entire cast, production crew of Atlanta.
Staff, record label, and the motherfucking crew.
Yeah. Damn, I forgot actually to end with this for the Michael Jackson 30 year.
Yeah.
Best musical siblings not named Michael and Janet.
Best musical siblings not named Mike and Janet.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I see the names in my mind and they're gone. Fuck! I literally had it in my mind and they just disappeared.
Brandy and Ray J.
There you go. Yeah, they're number two. They ain't Michael and Janet, but they're the closest ones.
I got another one for you.
Who?
Ray Schremer.
Yeah, I was about to say them too.
Got another one.
Who?
Haley and Chloe.
Haley and Chloe. Yeah, they're sisters. Yeah, siblings.
Mm-hmm.
You said musical siblings, right?
Musical siblings.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, not named Michael or Janet.
Oh, what's it called? There's another one. I literally saw them in my mind. You named everyone I was thinking of, and they just disappeared. Because Michael and Janet, that's like on a whole other level. So it's like, yeah. Oh, Beyonce and Solange.
Yep, there you go. Yeah. I was waiting for you to say that.
Yeah, Beyonce and Solange. Who are the other brothers? Oh, the Clips.
There you go.
Yeah. Going down the lane.
BB and CC Winans.
BB and CC Winans, of course. Yeah.
Mary,
yeah. Yeah, well, you said the best ones, or are we just listing them?
Best musical siblings.
So who do you think are the best, besides Michael and Janet?
Well, we're listing them.
Huh?
I mean, Clips is definitely up there.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not a lot of, I mean, think about it, not really a lot of siblings. Like, we're not talking about groups.
Yeah.
Like,
Beyonce Solange is pretty good, because, you know, even though she only dropped, like, well, she dropped multiple albums to launch, but it was those last two albums that really certified her.
Right.
You know? And she's taking her time to drop her fucking, like, follow-up, because she takes her time.
Mm-hmm.
And it had to take a seat at the table for us to really look at her, because I remember for the longest time, I said, yeah, if Beyonce's Michael, you ain't Janet. And it took me a lot of time to be like, okay, you're Janet now. So, I think Beyonce and Solange are, like, the yin and yang of each other. So,
yeah, it's it really also makes you think too that siblings really don't get into the same field.
They really don't. It's very rare if they do, especially in basketball. You had Seth and fucking what's his name?
No, it's
that's all the time.
It's very likely that you see siblings. Shit, they got the Ball brothers aren't even the most well known brothers in the NBA right now that are three or more. They got like four different sets of three or more brothers in the NBA right now.
Oh, wow.
Are you forgetting about Giannis and his brothers?
Yeah, then Curry, the Currys.
No, there's only two of them.
There's only two? Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm talking about the Holidays.
Oh, yeah, though.
Aaron Holiday, who plays with Giannis.
Mm-hmm.
And then his brothers, I think they're on Indiana now.
Mm-hmm.
Or they might be somewhere else together.
Yeah.
Or the Bulls, I don't know, but two of them are together.
Yeah, it's mostly in sports.
Yeah, no, pro sports is actually a family business.
Yeah, it is.
Some aspects.
Yeah. But in music, that's pretty hard. Especially if one of them is successful and the other one is kind of not there yet.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard because Michael and Janet were the only ones that were, I guess, neck and neck when it comes to, like,
right,
you know, relevancy and popularity.
I mean, you got a better shot at finding cousins.
Yeah.
In the music industry. Like, sports is more of a sibling.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it extends to cousins.
I mean, Stevie Wonder is related to the Jacksons.
Yeah, but, I mean, in music, it's more so a cousin-filled association.
Yeah. There was, like, other brothers.
Or you get the fact that one is in music and the other is in TV or movies.
Yeah.
You get that a lot.
Yeah. But I was going to say Donald Glover, him and his brother. Well, he's an actor and his brother's like the writer, so I guess.
Yeah, a lot of people don't even know that his brother is doing that as well.
What?
A lot of people don't realize that his brother's a writer.
Oh, yeah, even though he's in the credits and shit.
A lot of people don't lie. The average person doesn't know.
Yeah, that's wild, yeah.
Well, because he's not in front of a camera.
Exactly, so he's more behind the scenes and
right.
shit. But yeah, like you said, like,
there was Michael and Janet are like the pinnacle of the brother sister like musical.
I would say siblings, period.
Siblings, yeah, they're the pinnacle of siblings that are really like the kings and queens of this shit.
Yeah,
shit, well, nothing like them. Shit, they're both in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, mm-hmm. both of them. Shit, but sports time.
I think it's sports. I don't want to talk about sports, but we got to. Seasons are going.
Seasons are going.
Don't ask me shit. I don't know shit.
Well, my Niners, they pulled it off on Sunday night. They're about to go to Mexico. I bet you Namor will be there.
No, nigga, the cartel.
The cartel will be there. with the Cardinals.
It ain't no Namor.
It's the cartel.
Yeah. Stay your asses in that hotel.
Yeah. But nah, man, Niners, they did the job against the Chargers. It was a good game.
Good for you.
I'm trying
to talk about other stuff. I told you. I said, yeah, if the Raiders lose to the Colts,
it's rock bottom.
Burn it up. Burn it all.
Burn it down. Yeah. They niggas lost to the damn Cardinals. Well, not to the Colts. The Jeff Saturday, who's never coached in life, beat the Las Vegas Raiders. They are now 2-7. Someone got to go. And I'm looking at Josh Daniels like, bro, you got to go, bro. I'm sorry. And like you told me, it wasn't Derek Carr's fault this time, right?
I mean, yeah, he threw some bad passes throughout. But what do you want the man to do when he puts Devontae in position to score what potentially could have been the game-winning touchdown? And then your defense gives up a bomb from Matt Ryan, who was previously benched, to Paris Campbell, who runs through not one,
not two,
but King's three defenders.
King's disease, three of defenders. How did that happen? That's bad coaching.
None of them got all their arms around. It wasn't like he bulldozed them. They were all running with him, and they were trying to grab him. And they were
arm tackling? Oh, my God.
And he just ran into the end zone.
It's that bad.
Yeah.
Still want to be gang gang?
Of course. Niggas got crap tables, bro. Come on, man. Y'all got Jimmy G.
No.
Eventually, at some point, that shit's just going to fall. Oh, I saw that damn stat.
What's that?
Jimmy G with zero touchdowns. They go 10-2.
Numbers don't lie.
Yeah, numbers don't lie my ass. Keep Jimmy G out here. Don't. Yeah. Every defense saw that. Oh, we just got to force Jimmy G to throw the ball. All right, bet.
Hey, man, you never know what you're going to get with Jimmy G.
No, I know. You know what you're going to get. Nigga, I got pissed off because they put the ball in his hand.
I was watching it live. It was like watching Madden. I was seeing niggas open. I saw when he hacked the ball, I saw Ayuk was super open. I was like, Ayuk, what? Okay. Three and out. Ayuk was super open. You had hell of time.
Yeah. Okay. Like I said, there are some throws that you could definitely put on Derek. I saw one meme turned out where the running back was running out the backfield. This motherfucker is screaming out, Derek! Derek!
That shit was funny.
So, I mean, again, it's a team effort. So you gotta, you know, it's team. But what do you want your offense to do when they score and they put you in a position to stop the ball and three of your defensive backs just run with the damn receiver into the end zone?
They said Mark Davis walked into the locker room after this game. This one is like, your daddy would have fired his ass already. Like, let's be fucking real. Al would have fired that nigga after the Kansas City game. He would have said, oh, I've seen enough. He would have fired his ass.
Al Davis would have gave him to the mafia.
Nigga.
I mean, I hate to say it, man, because, you know, it was back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, bodies will be found in trunks.
They were being in ditches.
You know what I'm saying?
I would have got rid of that nigga. After the Kansas City game, it would have been like that scene from Goodfellas when Joe Pesci walked into the fucking room and shit.
Yeah.
Oh, it would have been a wrap.
Yeah.
I don't know why Josh Daniels still has a job right now, to be honest.
But you know who didn't lose?
Who?
Me.
Of course. Of course you didn't lose.
On God.
On God.
On God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
McDaniels would have been gone.
Yep.
I told you, again.
Right. And I've been waiting, baby.
Godfather. Shit. As soon as he walks in the locker room, blood all over the dead.
Like Goodfellas.
Goodfellas. He's like, clean this shit up. Your coach will be calling. He's like, you're the coach now. He points at the interim coach. You're the coach now.
Yeah.
And just walks out. And then just have them clean the body up.
I hate to say it, man. You don't want to talk like that, but man, this was back in the day. He would have gone expeditiously.
Shit, man. Pretty much Josh McDaniels has two teams, the Broncos and the Raiders, has failed head coaching jobs.
Yep.
Take your ass back to New England, bro. Be offensive coordinator. Or just be an offensive coordinator. How about that? Don't coach.
Bills and Vikings was probably game of the year.
That was the most craziest game I have ever watched. It was kind of boring in the beginning, and then they came back, and then the last minute?
I mean, everything between Justin Jefferson's catch.
Yeah.
To
the one-handed catch.
Yeah, just everything in it. And then, of course, when they get on the one-yard line on fourth down, you're like, it's Kirk Cousins' time. And sure enough, it happened. You're like, yep. Sorry, Vikings, that's it. But wait.
Josh Allen, they were at the one-yard line. All they had to do was take a knee.
Somebody did this.
He decided to do a QB sneak out of there, but he should have just took a knee and took the safety because they still would have won the game. There was like, what, 10 seconds left?
Yeah.
All he had to do was like probably take a knee. They only had 2 seconds left at least or whatever. No. He decided to
botched snap between him and the center, and that ball fumbled in the end zone, and guess who got it?
The Vikings.
Kendricks.
And it was a tied game.
No, and it was not.
It was?
No. Oh, yeah. They took the lead.
Yeah.
29-27 and hit the PAT.
Uh-huh.
Somehow, some way, the Bills were able to get down just far enough deep there to force overtime.
Mm-hmm.
And in overtime, more fuckery occurred.
Yeah.
And just when you think the Vikings had just met their match, Josh Allen again.
Threw a pick.
And that was the game.
And it was shocking. Like, when you see the replay, it's like, why did you throw that?
And I had to listen to Vikings fans all day as if Kirk Cousins wasn't their quarterback and they know that day is not coming. You're going to have to play in primetime.
You keep winning games, one of them games are going to get flexed.
Yeah. And you're going to have to play at night.
You're going to play with Carrie Underwood, sings your song out on NBC, bro. And you're going to have to show your ass.
Somebody said on Twitter, I think you saw it. They used the video clip of Vince McMahon, and it was like me trying to explain 1 p.m. Kirk Cousins. 1
p.m. Kirk Cousins, and he's like, he was very special.
Very special.
Someone just told me this is the exact reason why these niggas lost in the playoffs four times. This defense is the exact reason why you niggas lost. But yeah, that game was game of the year.
Just when you think Aaron Rodgers has hit rock bottom, he gets a pick-me-up by the Cowboys.
Thank you, Cowboys. Cowboy fans already screaming, it's the end of the world after one loss. One other loss.
Right.
They lost in overtime, too.
Yeah.
Like, this is when I was at the, the tailgates. I was missing a majority of these games.
Oh, man, you got to get something to get you red zone on the road.
Yeah, I was kind of excited for the Niner game, but...
Yeah, you still got to watch football to know what the fuck's going on.
Yeah, they was playing highlights on the screen.
Highlights. Nigga, you got to watch Red Zone in the tailgate.
They were showing Red Zone on the screen, so... Yeah. Anyway, the Lions won. They beat the Bears. That was... Man.
I saw a crazy stat. Justin Fields has had 800 yards passing and on the run. 11 touchdowns, 1 interception, and he's 0-3.
They are 3-7 right now, the Bears.
They are wasting away. He now as a quarterback has the highest rushing total in a game. He beat out a record held by Mike Vick, and they're wasting this man's talent. They're 0-3.
They are 0-3. That's a damn fucking shame. I feel bad for him every game, man. Kind of, like I guess sometimes I wish Kyle Shanahan would have drafted his ass. Like, fuck, man. Like, it's like, fuck, man. He in hell. But, man. Yeah, Patriots won, Lions won. Jet, your team again? Oh, no, that's last week.
No, they had a bye.
Yeah, they had a bye.
Well, they won that.
Yeah, I know. Titans. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you got to leave it to Russell Wilson fucking it up again. Had a lane wide open to run in. What did he do? Threw it for an interception.
All right.
Chiefs, oh, whatever. Dolphins, who cares?
Yeah, it was kind of a boring-ass week, to be honest.
It really was. The Monday night game was, well, the Monday night game.
I thought it was going to be boring. It ended up being, but I should have known. I didn't really pay attention to who the Eagles were playing.
Uh-huh.
And then when I saw it and really put two and two together, I was like, that's my fault. You can't really call divisional games.
Mm-mm, you cannot, because the Eagles cannot stop the run.
Was it Heinicke or Hinkie?
Heinicke, XFL's very own, man.
Man, he was
He was balling.
Not only was he balling, he was playing tricks on the Eagles.
He really was. I was watching that shit.
He said, I'm going to down this ball, and I dare you to hit me. Oh, you stupid fuck, you hit me.
That's the end of the game. And he said, he's like, motherfucker.
Oh, my God. You talk about the Eagles, bro. Just fucking heartbreaking turnover. And the part with it is they lost Goddard. He's going to be out for a while.
Oh, damn.
And that fumble wasn't even his fault.
Yeah.
He got a face mask and got thrown to the ground. The face mask caused him to be like, help! And he dropped the ball. But then when it came to the next series and Watkins caught the ball, fell. This is why you just accept what you get. Mm-hmm. You just stay on the ground. Nothing good happens when you get up.
Yep.
This man caught the ball. Caught a bomb, got up, and then fumbled the ball.
They just shot themselves in the foot.
I thought I seriously got upset. Cause I was like, as if I was an Eagles fan, because I thought it had fantasy implications, and I lost. Went and looked and was like, oh, I won by 6.
Hey.
A.J. Brown had 1 catch for 7 yards. Ooh. That's why I was stressing, because I was like, ugh. But it was more than enough.
It really was. I got
the job done.
Oh, yeah, and for when it comes to the Rams, what's his name? Cooper Kupp. He's going to be out for life. Yeah,
that's unfortunate.
Rams are done. That's their
offense.
That's their offense. They all got a run game. Matt Stafford back in Detroit.
Motherfuckers better call OBJ.
OBJ wants to win. And they say he might make a decision by the end of the month. So, we going to see. It'd be interesting if he comes to us. I'm not thinking about it, but hey, man, whatever. Any other games?
Don't ask me about basketball.
I'm not.
Don't ask me about no damn basketball. I know nothing. I just know they got Lakers got the 3rd win in 13 games, so don't ask me nothing.
Well, I can't wait for Thanksgiving next week. The Thanksgiving games and shit. Who the fuck did they go against? I think they go against the Giants, the Cowboys. I'm about to check right now.
Who the Lions playing?
Man. Why do they always got to play on Thanksgiving?
Why can't you niggas go home?
They go against the Bills.
Might not be as bad.
Giants go against the Cowboys. That's a good game.
The stinker is the night game. That shit stinks. Patriots and
Vikings. That might be a good game.
That shit stinks. Get that shit out of here.
It might be a good game. No, Bills and Lions looks like a stinker. That looks like it's going
to
be
Bills and Lions looks like it's going to be a high-scoring game.
You think so?
Look what the Vikings just did to them.
Yeah. And Patriots and Vikings? That might be a
beat. And it's indoor.
Oh, they're at the Vikings shit. Giants and Cowboys, they should just move that to prime. They should move that.
Flex that shit.
Flex, but the Cowboys always get the middle games. They always get
fuck them. Flex that shit. For the love of God.
And that's a divisional game, too? Man, that's playoff implications.
You might as well just go ahead. You know what? I'm going to just call it right now. Just go ahead and flex Packers-Eagles. Just switch them from Sunday night to Thursday night. Like, y'all niggas playing on Thanksgiving now.
Y'all niggas playing on Thanksgiving now.
But I had plans. I said you playing on Thanksgiving.
I said though.
What the shield says goes.
Yeah, nah, Giants and Cowboys. You better
ask Kaepernick. Yeah, I said it.
Yeah, I think all of America is going to be Giants fans that day.
Yeah. Kaepernick is Kaepernick is the prime example of how far the shield will go to keep shielding.
Mm-hmm.
I don't say that to, you know, be in support of Kaepernick being out of the league. I'm just saying, you try to go up against the shield, you will find out. That is the definition of fuck around, find out if you want to.
Yep, and then I guess not this week, but the week after. I think that's when Nasty Man, week 13, Nasty Man comes back.
On Horny the ball.
Hey. Calm your ass down.
Horny ball.
Horny ball comes back. It's going to be a boring ass game. Oh, damn. Browns are trash and the Texans are trash.
I don't know if it's going to be boring.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting game. They might.
I don't know if it's going to be interesting. I just don't know if it's going to be boring.
Yeah, that Thanksgiving lineup looks. Yeah, Bills and Packers.
Who would have known the first week of December that Jets and Vikings would be one of those games?
Yeah.
Man. Damn, son.
It's for next week.
No, I'm that the first weekend of December.
Oh, oof.
Dolphins 49ers. Oof.
I'm just thinking about the Seahawks.
Yeah, you have offense. To try to stop both
Mostert and Jeff Wilson.
No, fuck Mostert
and no, Waddle.
No, Hill and Waddle. Those Hill are the ones you got to stop.
CPT, oh not CPT. What's it called?
Why are Colts and Cowboys on my Sunday night game on December 4th?
Because it's the Cowboys. That's why.
Yeah, flex them.
No, they're not going to flex them.
You better put Dolphins 49ers at that game.
Dead ass, though.
Put it at that time.
Dead slot. Ass. That's the game people want to watch. That's playoff implications.
Oh, Titans-Eagles is going to be fun. That's A.J. Brown's first game against the Titans. Well, yeah, that first weekend of Sunday might be, it's going to be a lit-ass Sunday.
Derrick Henry's going to run a mile, run over. We'll talk about next. We'll talk about 2 weeks, two Sundays right. from now. Yeah, next week's going to be, we go against the Cardinals. That's Mexico City.
Who the Raiders going to lose to? Oh, what the do you Seahawks. Know? The fucking Chargers.
No, y'all got the Seahawks.
No, team. December 4th.
Oh.
The Chargers? I'm trying to prepare myself.
Well, hopefully, I want y'all to beat the Seahawks, please.
Well, I can't guarantee nothing to you, man.
I want
to
tell you
how... can't even beat Jeff Saturday.
People, you want to hear how petty... how petty Niner fans and Charger fans are.
That's not
are.
Petty. This happens in every building.
But this
where
is
you
the
got...
first time I experienced it.
Bro, this happens everywhere.
Well, I never experienced it, so this is my first time. They showed the highlights for the Raiders-Colts game, and then when the announcer said, and the Las Vegas Raiders failed, they have lost to the Indianapolis Colts, and everybody, Niners and Charger fans, cheered.
Bro, the Raiders were in the middle of going 0-10 to start the season. And one of those games when it was the Cardinals and the Raiders, they said the 49ers lost and the whole stadium lit up.
I'm sure it's the vision.
It's the vision. Once again,
yeah. The
whole stadium, Raiders and Cardinals when the 49ers lost. The same thing you're saying. Like yeah. this isn't new. This happens everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like we all came together as one.
Yeah.
good times. I need to go to more Niner games. I might go to more Niner games.
I'm surprised you don't.
Yeah, I know, right? You should come along with me. It's fun.
For what?
Oh, want to be gang.
You're not gang. You're empire.
Empire. Well, yeah, bang, Niner gang.
No. I like watching Red Zone from 9 to 4.
And, yeah, not going to no Monday night game. It was Sunday night. I think it was special because it was a Sunday night game. Now, can I go to a 1 p.m. game?
I could do that. You got to remember, bro, I used to work that shit.
True. You did.
It's a whole different experience.
You did, yeah. Especially when you're filming it. So you're filming all the plays and shit like that.
Yeah.
I saw all the holes open up and shit like that. It was a different experience looking at it from the Madden point of view. I was seeing holes break up. I'm seeing people open. I'm like, I want to do right to... Okay.
Right. I'll tell you what nights are best to go. The Monday night games. Monday nights are the best ones to go to.
Hmm.
You ain't missing nothing.
True.
You miss absolutely nothing.
Nothing's playing. Yeah, that's true.
Last live game I went to. Raiders Ravens. That was the opening night kickoff. Monday night.
That was opening, yeah.
Yeah.
That was all fun.
Monday night games are the best ones to go to because you are not missing anything.
That's true. That's true.
But when you go to a Sunday night game, you gotta prepare.
Yeah, gotta prepare.
I love tailgates, but I'm not missing Red Zone. I paid for Red Zone. All right.
Tailgate was fire. I'm not gonna lie about that. Yeah, that was an experience. I was like, oh wow, it's like the club. That shit was fire all night.
Have you ever been to a tailgate?
No.
You've been to Niners games before.
Oh, only when I was young.
Wow.
Only when I was young and I went to the last Candlestick Raider-Niner game. The one when everybody was fighting was ganglanding that bitch.
Oh, man, you got no excuse. You got to get out more.
Oh, yeah.
I missed all these niggas Super Bowl years and shit.
I was young.
Nigga, that was 2 years ago. What are you talking about? I was young.
What, 2 years in a row? Well, whatever.
When they played in 2020, they just went to the Super Bowl 2 years ago. What are you talking about?
Oh, yeah. Oh, shit. Now I have that experience. All right? Ain't no excuse. But I was just happy they didn't lose because it would have been, oh, man. And then I said, one thing I also noticed that during the third quarter, I was seeing people leaving, and I'm like, hey, why are people leaving? I'm just going to take the light rail home. They don't understood. Oh, now I know why. Shit was a bitch getting out.
Yep.
Oh my god, it was a bitch. I was like, I was seeing motherfuckers leave during the third quarter game. I was like, dang, why are niggas leaving? They're like, I see Chargers and Niner fans leaving. And I was like, why y'all leaving?
Yep.
Oh.
We saw. That's it.
Game wasn't even over yet. It was like in the middle of the third quarter. I think we were still down that game. Still down too. But whatever. Good experience.
Yeah, you gotta go to more games, bro.
Oh, I am. That's the plan.
I did not know that.
I told you. I even told you, like, only time I went to fucking Levi's was for WrestleMania and the Cal game, the NCAA shit. That was the Pac-10 game. That was it.
See, you have to cross a line in the sand. Because you can't be doing this shit either. You're gonna go to games, you're gonna play fantasy football.
I go to games.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, no. This is bullshit. Because now I'm finding this out the whole time.
I done told you this.
You didn't have to pay attention to just the 49ers if you wasn't going to games. You got no excuse. Like, I was filming shit and I was checking fantasy lineups. No excuse. You.
I was filming shit. Look at that fantasy lineups.
Like, what are you like? No, I only focus on my team. Nigga, you don't go to the games.
I watch the games, and I wear the fucking jersey in the.
You don't go to the games.
And
oh man, well, that changes everything now.
Well, I went to the game now.
Yeah,
and then
I just didn't know you was 35 years old when you went to your first tailgate.
No, I've been to the San Jose State tailgate. I've been to tailgates.
Oh, your first 49ers tailgate.
Oh, yeah, it was the first time, yeah.
Man, oh, man.
It was fun.
Yeah,
it was a lot of fun.
I bet.
Hey, don't be bad.
Boo this man!
Don't boo me. Don't boo me.
I just did.
They did. Goddamn. Hey, man, I enjoyed myself. I'll do it again, too.
I'm glad you did.
Yeah. Man, let's think what's the next game. Forgot what the next home game. Oh, we're going to the Saints. That's the next home game. That's going to be an afternoon game.
Might as well go that one.
Wait, yeah, I might. Come along.
Nah, I'm good.
And on that note, this is episode 281. Yes, 281 of the most consistent podcasts in the year. Yeah, but your illogical sense. You could always follow us on Twitter. What's left of it. Shout out to Mr. Fab. You can follow me, Mr. Buzz B, for lowercase O-8. You can follow us on Twitter at TLogicalSP. You could always follow us on Instagram and, of course, on the Facebook.
Give me a hell yeah!
And on all social media at JC No Hutter. I just be chilling. Again, don't ask me about anything sports or basketball. At this point, don't ask me about anything
sports. Don't ask about nothing.
Just nothing. Ask me about my fantasy team. Shit, that's all I
ask
got.
Ask about his day. Yeah. Ask about that. Don't talk about the Lakers or the Raiders. Maybe
Raiders
Jets.
Raiders lost, but Devontae got seven catches for 120 something again and a touchdown. I was good.
Well, ask about the Jets, maybe. Jets.
Nah, I can't wear that green. It's the same green as the Celtics. Yeah. I ain't wearing that shit.
Oh, shit. Anyway, on that note, I'm happy to be...
Before we go, celebrating and shout out to everybody who was a veteran.
Oh, yeah. Veterans Day. Yeah, shout out to all the veterans.
Yes, we actually salute you. Thank you for all of your service.
Yeah, that was the whole theme at the games.
That's the whole theme of the month in,
I know.
November in the NFL. Mm-hmm. But those who have laid their lives down and for protection,
we salute you.
I won't go into my feelings about the military because that ain't the point. Y'all the ones on the front line. Mm-hmm. And we appreciate the service, so thank you.
Exactly. Wakanda forever. Namor, Nazir, and Renee. Late.
Peace.